Number four, I believe the other area of inadequacy in the training of teachers is in the area of social sciences. We need far more preparation, I think, in political science, group management, interactional process, if the teacher is to be effective in the many arenas of human interaction, then social and political skills need to be sharpened. If one is to teach in the various structures and create new structured environments, as George Leonard talks about them, one will have to become politically astute. Michael Bacallus, the superintendent of education of Illinois, last year said on the campus at Concordia that public teachers have to learn how to play politics or the public school system will surely die. The realm of politics is where decisions are made, and if we want to influence those decisions, we need to understand the rules of the game and how to use them. I was just recently at a political meeting of some colleagues of mine in the Senate. I don't think this is a secret. And as I looked around that room in the afternoon, by the end of the day, I began to feel uncomfortable. And I figured out why I guess I felt uncomfortable. There were 38 people there. There was one woman, there was one teacher, and there were two men. The rest of the entire audience consisted of church pastors. I suggest that there are two things. One, church pastors know how the game of politics is played in the Senate, and secondly, I guess teachers are still somewhere on the sidelines, you know, wondering what's happening, mm-hmm. not even knowing that there is a ball game going on. Number eight, I will continue to plead for the education of teachers as generalists with a strong emphasis in liberal arts. The speciality that we need is one of enablement, being able to match children and adults creatively with data sources that they need. We need methods, but not just dull methods. We need methods to free people to search in their own way for the truth that they need. We need methods which would guarantee that the teacher is free to continue his own learning. We need teachers who are generally educated with enough competence that they are in touch with the sources of truth and the skills for teaching. Number nine, I think we need to send these kinds of position papers to OutSynod and develop task forces to speak to these issues. A new policy for the Missouri Synod in 1970. I think we need a definitive statement on the ministry. I think we need a definitive statement on baptism, ordination, and Christian vocation. And then I hope that sometime we can get together and resolve something about our women. And finally, I suggest that go back to your parishes this afternoon, teachers, and begin to work quickly on memorials for the New Orleans Convention. Memorials which would call for a six-year teacher education proposal. Memorials which would eradicate the distance between men and women teachers in the church. Memorials which would call for a reordering of ordination. Memorials which would call for a re-study and finally a clarification of what the ministry of the church is all about. Memorials which would call for a new policy for the 20th century in the Missouri Synod. Memorials which would call for a restructuring of the board quota to equalize educational representation within the synodical school presently. I guess there's a lot more to say. I hope that these thoughts are helpful to start our thinking. I mean them in seriousness, with an urgency that I sometimes wish were not so plaguing in my own life. I call for a new order, a new office, and a new day, in the name of the teacher who taught us that all things might be new. Until 5 o'clock is an opportunity for questions which any of you might want to address to Steve. And since I would simply be a commission third party, I'll let you just see it. In this morning's paper, I made a proposal which I did not include in the afternoon paper. I believe that teachers and pastors and all church workers should be trained together. I think we need to develop what Martin Kennedy calls a university of church vocation, where we would train the entire professional ministry of the church together. I have resented for a good while the location of and it works like this on weekends. All of our very attractive young teachers, you know, they practice in math to the senior college. I have a hard time developing any loyalty among teachers when they all know in the past. It's a tough. I'm kidding, but yes, I think that we should train pastors and teachers, the entire professional ministry together. Also in the morning paper, I accented another thing which I did not include in the afternoon, and that is that I think we should go towards a system of education in the Missouri Synod which would only invest fanatical dollars in graduate education rather than undergraduate education. And that we would take people then at the bachelor's level and give all ministers a 2 or 3 year minimal training program in the theology of the church and practice, and then let them specialize in that last year, whether they want to become a pastoral minister, a teaching minister, I think that's an economic proposal, and I think it's a reasonable proposal, and I think it would be a far better use of fanatical dollars. I don't want to. Yes, sir. I think that the pastoral minister probably would want to specialize in one of the specifics of his office.
conceived of what we would call humanity in the church. I do not consider the humanity as one gift among a whole number of other people. You know, when I conceive of human, I conceive of people who share the vision to allocate responsibilities as part of the family and to, you know, work together. We have a good deal of rhetoric about that in the church, but I don't find it happening very many places. Yes, sir.
So that is a very part of the advice to the community and how to relate to the church. So it seems that you need to be able to use the ability to serve Christ and to do that for the rest of the year. So how do you tell the people?
Well, I think you've got the topic of it now. Is that recording still going? I don't think that the word pastor, if we even need that title any longer, you have to be always the person before the God comes. I think you see that a giving service, a life service, and a executive director who is Dr. Dillon, and his responsibility to be the ministry, all of the functions of the ministry in that particular place. Yes, sir. I can't answer that except by suggesting that
that matters to his mind is probably the matter of school in teaching us around action. So I guess I'll throw it back to you. I suppose that worry is, and I guess it's the problem with impossible because of the complexity of our culture and of our church body. I don't think maybe I can see that going back to a model which conceived of the ministry does not. And there I'm home on the hands of my own father. I feel for redefinition on the basis of charisma as the earliest form, but I'm also willing to address and work with the need for the professional training. Would you help me? I don't know that most people who ask questions also have a written agenda. Do you and it wasn't very effective. I lost him. I just made people angry. You know, and I don't think that's very healing or helpful. So I don't think that, I don't feel that it's a lost cause. I think that finally we can do some things together and we can take some steps together. I think liberation really will occur for teachers when we liberate our peers. Even if the structures are not liberated, what I'm concerned about is seeing the people who work within that structure so they can, you know, once in a while just think about it or wink their eye and go on and do their thing, so to speak. I don't think that's a very good answer. Do you want to respond? Thank you. tend to think that we will keep and keep specialization rather than a deep specialization. I tend to think that that, particularly in terms of education, in terms of counseling and healing, in terms of the teaching, the simple teaching path in our society. And I expect that in some of our older parishes, we will have optimal specializations in urban ministry and in community kinds of organizations, but which we haven't developed very much yet. I noticed that half the death is not in the study of Trinity in some books. I think that many of our men and women are recognizing in the city of the role of the church in healing the structure, specifically in the structure of the immediate community, how to bring some kind of the structure and compassion to work. And those skills, I don't think they're currently doing the very adequate job of maybe one last comment in the back just to help me share something I call it before we can go something that the overall focus on the just like to comment that I really feel a piece of question addressed by Mr. Jones, and I don't know, I think we can talk a little bit more after. How do you handle the question of charisma and professionalism? You know, how do you negotiate those polarities within the ministry of the church? I'm interested in continuing to talk about
this. Well, I have the last word. I'd like to ask the teachers here to have a word. All of the questions have been asked by other than teachers. I know a single one making me not a response at all. Edith? I never heard you at a loss for words. So if you have something to say,
to have one ministry, or to continue to perpetuate one elite ministries. There are several other minor, almost ministries. As long as speaking and teaching ministries remain unique, and they will, there is no doubt in my mind that we will continue that internal strife and struggle unless we clarify that issue. So my proposal is to ordain the entire public ministry of word and sacrament. And after that ordering, it will be a simple procedure to provide functional categories or standards for the function. No one minister can do all the ministry, not even a clergyman. I might add here that the teaching difficulties with confirmation classes is a reflection, I think, of that dilemma. Pastors have not been adequately trained in the past to teach, and yet our concept of ministry indicates that they can do anything. There is a related concern, but since I don't have any special wisdom on how to solve this one, I will only trouble you in passing with the problem. In my very honest private moment, I observed that any form of specialization in the church, separating a professional church elite from the Christian body, tends towards the creation of a hierarchy and special privilege. I think professionalism is only a half virtue. We still have to do with servanthood. Professionalism and servanthood seem, in my experience, to be contradictory, at least in the history of this sense. Shepherds have often seemed to be more like saints. I'm not certain that we can maintain a formal professional public ministry without the constant gift of special privilege, pride, and order, all contradictory symbols to that of servanthood. Perhaps baptism is the only ordination any of us need. Now, I know those are difficult words, and I'm kind of scared to say them here. But I think we just have a lot of hard work to do in clarifying what the ministry is. By now, I suspect some of my listeners are restless about a solution to broaden the ministry without a word about training. And I hasten to outline a position for training that kind of a multiple ministry of equals. Number one. As Martin Alternity has often said, our schools of higher education ought to serve as universities of church vocation. Teachers, directors of Christian education, pastors, and so forth ought to be trained together, like they were in the early years of the synod. The possibility for communication and dialogue between the functionaries of the ministry then would be greatly increased. Several faculties within the synod presently have the potential, without serious additional faculty, to do just that kind of thing. Number two. I think synod ought to gradually phase out these. I'm not a historian here now. These are just observations and only observations. Number two. Synod ought to gradually, I think they're good observations. Synod ought to gradually phase out undergraduate education and establish only graduate schools for the professional ministry. This would, I believe, be fiscally sound and pedagogically desirable. We could recruit them from diverse undergraduate backgrounds, thus enriching the ministry. It seems problematic to me that the Synod can continue to maintain her present undergraduate system of education. That pattern is already, I think, evident in the phasing out of our prep schools and the high school departments and the development of the community Lutheran high school. Perhaps the same pattern needs to apply to our undergraduate education. Present higher education money then could sustain a large percentage of graduate studies if that were our only concern. Number two. Were we to operate graduate schools only, I believe that we could standardize the training period of the ministry. Teachers, pastors, VCEs, all of these people would require a 2 or 3 year period of minimal training upon the baccalaureate degree. Specialization then could be built upon that minimal ministerial program for anyone entering into the ministry of the church. Number four. In such a program, teachers would certainly receive more theology than in the present system. Were we to accept certified teachers with the bachelor's degree, we could build a perfect program of instruction in theology and church practice upon the graduate level. Far more attention could be given to adult education and preschool education. Number five. Such a proposal has value, I think, for the pastoral ministry as well. Many women could specialize in one form of ministry but have access to other functions. There could be a core program of theological training for all ministries with an increased attention to human relationships and the political sphere. In other words, how to get the job present segregated structure. I think it would cost less, be more efficient, and it would tend to accomplish the destruction of our current step pattern of ecclesiastical hierarchy within the ministry. Graduate education for all ministries could be heavily subsidized by the same amount of semantical subsidy currently used for undergraduate education. And finally, I believe that the parish must remain the basic orientation of ministerial training. Community is the last option that we have for parish education. The parish is a traditional pattern of continuity in the synod. The total organization of the ministerial program should be built towards the parish ministry. Then we could nurture what James Chapman calls the catalytic community, the formation of Christians that always happens where faith begins in the community setting. The third concern that we must meet if we are to maintain a useful teaching ministry is the need to review our synodical policy. The Walter Compromise and the subsequent 50-50 franchise arrangement is not conducive to good educational planning. Teaching ministers need to be included in synodical decision making. Teaching ministers are now excluded from voting at the district and the synodical level. Franchise proposals have been attempted 3 times by teachers in the history of the synod, and each time they have been rejected. Were synod to establish its professional ministry along the lines suggested earlier, we would still need to divide our ministerial franchise by representation to all the functions in the ministry. I don't believe we have an option. The auxiliary ministers of the church have waited too long to demand a decision part of the life of the church. Now the franchise occurs, how that franchise occurs, for all ministers in the circuit are suddenly eligible or some new representation of quota, I think that's a difficult and technical matter, but it is not without a possible solution. A related injustice needs immediate correction if we are serious about a viable teaching ministry. I refer, of course, to the situation of the woman teacher in the church. The theological issue, if there is one, is not our particular concern here today. The literature on each side of the question, I think, is already too many. Frankly, I believe the matter of the woman in the church is really a political matter. Women teachers have been doing, and are doing, exactly what men teachers have been doing, and are doing. Women preach in classes. They forgive sin. They lead prayer. They attend voters' meetings. Some of them are elders, and in a place or two, they distribute the sacraments. And yet they are given contracts instead of calls. They do not officially receive the liturgy of the synod. They are, in fact, not members of the synod, and their salaries reflect their lower membership status. The argument in our church is not whether they may or may not minister. They have been ministering publicly for 125 years. Ordination for women teachers would simply acknowledge what we already have been doing, thus finally making it official. Teachers are public ministers also when they are women. And I was curious when I wrote in Pious Pedagogy that the solution to the role of the woman in the church may lie precisely where it always has been, in the public ministry. For women have always been a part of that public ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Unless the church moves forthrightly on this issue, we place into jeopardy the continued excellent service of thousands of women in the church. It is also a fact that women cannot clarify their ministry without your assistance. Missouri has always legitimatized its political decisions with theological rationale. I solicit your assistance as we seek to rectify this impossible contradiction. And one needs to say yet a word about team ministry if we are going to create a ministry of persons working together in a parish. A separate trained pastoral ministry will not quickly develop into team ministry. Pastors need to be trained in the process for shared leadership. We still think far too narrowly of the ministry in our church, and 2 illustrations from recent church life just are in order to share with you. President Price's Christmas letter is symptomatic of our traditional problem. Addressed his letter, incidentally, to dear brothers in Christ. And then he continued to write, It is so wonderful to think of the gospel ringing out in thousands of pulpits of our churches in many different languages to people of many different cultures and economic conditions. So I think that's a nice fantasy. But it's also part of my fantasy to fantasize about the gospel ringing out in 6,000 classrooms and from thousands of Christian homes and from thousands of Christian lay people as they forgive sins with each other as they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The view that the ministry includes all ministerial functions, the pulpit ministry, that is something that I think is too narrow. And when I wrote to him about it, he assured me that his view of the ministry was similar to mine. But our problem is that we have all been programmed into talking and thinking and writing the way we have in the past. And I can't help but share this one too, because I suppose like black identity, once you begin to develop teacher identity, you see problems all around. And so a related incident in the recent fanatical decision to produce the 125th anniversary film crossed my desk. This also illustrates the pervasiveness of our problem. The Chicago Daily News reported on the making of the film. Evidently, the film stages a stage pastor ordination into the preaching office as the epitome of faithful service in the church. I doubt very much whether that film conveys servanthood. Certainly, the Daily News reporter doubted that. Ministry, from my viewpoint, is the practice of word and sacrament shared by all God's people. The public ministry is practiced by all of those who are set aside to do specific functions of that ministry. Within a parish, that ministry is still confused and focused largely upon the pastor. In my local parish, two pastors and the school principal are called the ministry. The teachers, the secretaries, the custodians, they are staff. A gross distortion, I think, of any good Christian kind of quality. Team ministry cannot happen if we do not equip all the participants to share function and to share decision responsibility. Team concept cannot occur unless we first symbolize and install all ministers in the same fashion without separate and special practices for separate and special people. Okay, I'm almost done. I've got one more little section called Revitalizing the Subculture, Renewing Old Status. I've always believed that ideas inform actions. As an educator, I believe that one's thought influences one's behavior. The strategy for education grows out of the goals of our philosophy of education. In the case of Lutheran education, it seems crucial to me to develop our pedagogy from our theology. And so Lutherans can do well to remember their theological roots, for our theological roots are roots of life. The good news of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what Norm Hubble calls the really good news. No church body can recapture its meaning. Only as Jesus Christ is birthed in our worship, our Eucharist, our teaching, and comes alive in the good news, only then does he come alive among us. In the past, Lutherans have a time or two veered from the good news of the gospel. Sometimes we practice the gospel of good words, or of right doctrine, or of a pure book. The special sense of correctness. And sometimes our pedagogy has been authoritarian, rigid, dogmatic, and biblicistic. Sometimes we have been satisfied with pious truth texts or simple lifted literalisms rather than a serious study of the Bible. The teaching of the Missouri Synod reflects the ways in which we have drifted. Sometimes our materials have been off-center. Occasionally we've acted like a sect rather than a church. Our strategy sometimes has become inverted and self-preserving. To rediscover our heritage at the core of the heritage is to hear the good news as it has been proclaimed and acted out dramatically during 125 years of great sinning. To rediscover that part of our past is to rediscover the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the church. Not because we are better or more chosen or more German. We are the church because the Word of God still permeates our church, our classrooms, and our lives. And if we believe, if we can, as Walt Bowman states, if we believe that, we can begin to risk our tradition in the real world of ethnicity. As we remember our heritage, we might also find in it a corrective for our strategies of nurturing. Lutherans committed themselves early to the parish as the nurturing community. It is, right under our nose. If we can recapture by good, hard parish education the center of our strategy, all the elements of parish life are educating and consciously molding and renewing these elements into a meaningful collage of good news. That's what we ought to do in parish education. Mitch Drummond's recent research indicates that parish styles are either law or gospel. There are times when our words are right, but our parish lifestyle denies the goodness of the gospel. New nurturing vitality may happen if we pay attention to the pedagogy of the parish ideal, a conscious concern that all of the structures of the parish life are in fact essential in the molding of the education of the young. Now, some of our parish traditions need changing. The present constitution of Synod, I think, is such a document. I feel uncomfortable always when somebody snickers like that. Let me start over and I'll just keep going. Some of our parish traditions need changing. The present constitution of Synod is such a document. It is an optimistic. Representation is grossly unfair to laymen and to all presently defined auxiliary ministers. The mass conventions of Synod, from my point of view, are a financial embarrassment. Some of the theology that we have passed or tried to pass in conventions has been at least inadequate, if not harmful, to the church. I believe we need to start from scratch to redefine a new policy and a new structure for the 20th century. There is a great need for greater parish lay participation in the affairs of the church, and there is a need for more appropriate decision-making processes in the church. During the early decades of Synod history, the parish schools enrolled more non-Lutheran children than Lutherans. Those schools served their communities with vitality and openness. The time has come to redirect our efforts in education towards salvaging persons demonized by stupidity, hunger, and illiteracy. We need to open our schools to the world, the non-Lutheran world. The mission of His love is a mission to the whole child. We need to renew that open-door policy. I would like to see mission money diverted to that kind of new priority, to young persons in need in the ghettos of all over, in the ghettos of our culture. We need to take time to rebuild our subculture into His kind of counterculture, standing over against the world. The church must recapture the position of prophet. I worry how political we can become in behalf of parochial aid or credit, and how quiet we have remained in the last month about Vietnam. Counterculture implies dialogue with the world. It implies making judgment, sometimes making wrong judgment, but it also implies living in forgiveness. This kind of a counterculture must recreate a place where Christian humanism can be nurtured. Our schools and our parishes can become those kinds of workshops, laboratories of sinning boldly, where people can act out their rage and their hate and their lovelessness and their despair, and they can be boldly affirmed and loved and forgiven and healed. And such a counterculture would be nurtured by its link with earlier counterculture, the community of Christians back into history. We can remain under the judging and healing word which first gave life to such a community. In summary, I'm suggesting number one, that the Missouri Synod listen carefully to her past and hear again the really good news. Number two, that she recreate her uniqueness in word and sacrament and parish community. Number three, that she build nurturing communities of parishes and schools to give healing as they stand over against the mainstream culture. Number four, that she build new schools and renew her mission to young enslaved persons through a pedagogy of care and concern and questions of love and learning. Number five, that she reorganize her structures more appropriately for the 20th century. And number six, that she place herself under the word of judgment and mercy. The future of Christian education is hopeful if we are committed to its core, Jesus Christ. And if we can recover the best of our past strategy, the home, church, school, synthesis, in a community called the parish, open to all persons with healing and hope.
We had agreed that this session would be no longer than an hour, which leaves us 5 minutes for any kind of questions that might be in your minds at this point, and then we will cut it off for this morning, or what is by now this afternoon. Are there any kinds of questions or remarks that you'd want to address to Steve, and I'll just let him feel it?
You can still get a theological argument in those very synods. We received a lot of national press this past year for our bickering and our fighting, and that's a sign of health. We're really alive. We're fighting pretty well and out in the open more than we have in our past. That's a good sign. And in the parishes that I visit, I do a lot of visiting of teachers in the metropolitan Chicago area. I think they are very much alive. Another more esteemed observer of contemporary church life, Winston Hudson, has made this observation about Lutheran parishes, that they are very much alive. In contrast to the American Protestantism today, I have no doubt but that the Lutheran parish is pretty healthy. Canonical money is still coming in. It's still funneled massive amounts. And people hear about the canonical subsidy that can further the forest disease, you know, public educators, they can't believe it. You know, we're the only church that continues that kind of subsidizing of its educational service. Seminary gets charity. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we're going to have to do is develop that Van Docket called in the '62 year a parish education specialist. Our teachers, I think, have been trained too narrowly to teach in classrooms. Our pastors have been trained too narrowly to just do the preaching in the classroom. And I think we need to develop a third kind of specialist, a specialist who is conscious of the need for creating community within a parish, and who's able to work with all the structures of the parish. I think we are moving towards that. You probably know, I don't think it's a secret, the presence that teachers trained persons leaving Concordia or Seward receives only a minimum of 24 hours of theology. Now, you see, that I think that's terribly inadequate. The VCEs receive an additional 40 hours, so they're a little bit better trained in our theology. There's another hand back.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess that's a good place to end. Whenever you get some approval like that.